Marvelites, welcome to This Week in Marvel, episode number 342. I'm Ryan Panagos, a.k.a. Agent M.
And I am Jamie Frevely, a.k.a. Agent Covered in Dog Hair.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm always perpetually covered in cat hair, so I understand your plight.
Shed
so much.
Brushing actual families of tribbles off my dog every week.
Tribbles, those are kind of like little Ewoks, right?
They're kind of like little baby Ewoks.
Nice, nice. Okay. When you start talking Star Wars, I get it. Star Trek, it's just like...
Yeah, I understand. Live long and prosper, Ryan.
Ugh. Anyway, you know what? Biggest news of the week, I want to hit this up top, is...
Let's do it.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed!
It's back! It's back!
It's going to be back for season 6. We're very excited. It is amazing, which... is also awesome because the end of season 5 is bananas crazy.
Seemed like the end.
Oh, yeah. And so many things. And you're just like, what? Oh, my gosh. And this week, season finale. So take a breath. Know that there's going to be more.
Yes.
How and why and what and who and where and when? We don't know. But it's very exciting. It's really great. Congratulations to the cast and crew and Marvel Television. So this week, man, this week is wild.
We do have a very big event going on here at Marvel.
What's that?
We have some creators in the house.
You better believe it. We have the Marvel Comics Creative Retreat or Summit or Editorial Summit or Editorial Retreat. Literally everybody who talks about it says it in a different way. But what it is every couple months we bring in a lot of our writers and some artists, and they come in a room with Marvel Comics Editorial as well as some other staff, and they hash out the future of the Marvel Universe. I sit in on these when I can, like I am this time, to help figure out what's going on, to help us figure out, hey, what's going to be cool so we can plan out things that we want to cover and do things around. As of recording right now, we're only through day one, but I think I wrote up 7 pages of notes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw the room. There are lots of creators in there. And to be a fly on that wall listening in.
I can't talk about much, but what the cool thing is, you know, these are the best writers, best creators in comics, hands down. And so they're coming at this with so many fully formed ideas. Like, and then they hit the room and they say, this is what we're doing, blah, 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 blah. And you've got so many other people who are thinking, cool, what if you did this? How about this story beat? Oh, my characters in my books are doing this. How can this tie in? How can this work together? How does this all make sense? And you have, you know, C.B. Sobolski, who's our editor-in-chief. We have Joe Quesada, who's our chief creative officer. We have all the great editors. And they're all just like, it's just like neurons firing constantly. So there's a lot of ideas that are fully formed and that get changed and morphed and built and become cooler, different things. So not a lot to say. We did record an episode of This Week of Marvel with Nick Spencer, writer for Amazing Spider-Man. So we talk a little bit about the retreats in that. That'll give a little bit more detail when we release that. It won't be this episode because this episode, our main guest is Scotty Young.
Yes, but that's not all.
No, we have two extra guests who will show up during the news section. I will leave it at that. We'll get to them in a little bit. We're going to talk about some comics this week. Our three picks are All New Wolverine number 35, Captain America number 702, and The Mighty Thor at the Gates of Valhalla number 1. Man, what a week. What a week. Before we get into that, heads up that the poll list, video version, you can see me and Tucker being me and Tucker. Congratulations, you won an award. Watching us. There's going to be a new feed coming for that and new fun stuff, but stay tuned. More details on all that stuff. But yeah, if you want to watch us, it's a little bit different than the audio version of the poll list. So that's an incentive to give us a little bit of your clicks.
Yeah, because you can actually see the comics.
Ooh.
I mean, the whole point is to look at them, right?
Yes. Look at them, read them, enjoy them, absorb them. What else? I think that's, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like we should dive into...
Shall we dive into that pool?
Yes.
Okay.
First book, I'll take it. It is one of my picks. It is All New Wolverine number 35. This is the final issue. And so if you've not been reading All New Wolverine 1, what are you doing with your life? Because it is one of my favorite comics maybe ever produced. It's in that realm of favorite runs of all time. On this final issue, It's art by Ramon Rosanas, colors by Nolan Woodard, letters by VC's Corey Petit. Great cover by David Lopez that I really love. It shows Laura holding her sister over a pile of Doombots with other Doombots trying to go after her. And so that's the story. It's Laura Wolverine as one of the leaders of the world versus Dr. Doom, another one of the leaders of the world. So that's what we've been building to in this arc. And in this future story, Doom is really the only obstacle left to having almost a utopia, a peace. They've done so much, and he's still done so much against the heroes that he has to be taken off the board. And Laura's, she's said in the first part of this arc, she's dying. Before she goes, she has to, one, find her sister, and two, stop Dr. Doom. So that's the story we get in this one. But what makes it so great to me is that it is such a fulfillment of the promise of that mission, a fulfillment of what we've been reading for these past 3 years of this story, of a book that's funny, a book that's violent, that is full of hope, that is full of frustration, anger, emotion, feelings, family, connections, friendship, all these things. It's everything that, you know, has been put into this series, galvanized and sort of like crushed like a beautiful diamond from, you know, a different element into this beautiful piece. Ramon Rosanas, I'm so glad, was able to join for this final arc because Ramon's art is so clean. His lines are so... It's this weird thing. Like, he's very detailed where the detail counts. And you can look at, you know, there are some panels where, you know, there's just sort of a background is just a color instead of, you know, really wildly constructed background that isn't necessary. You need to focus on something. I'm looking at a panel where it's a big sound effect and the rolling head of a Doombot just having gotten cut off. And the background is just, you know, it's hues. It's yellows and oranges. And I think that's really good. You don't need to see anything behind that. And he saves that, you know, real detailed elements for the next panel where you do need to see the framing of where Laura is. The room has been destroyed behind her. The steps, there's rubble in different places. And it's those things that I think are really important in this book. He drives your eye to looking at specific things. And there's so much emotion. There's also this scene where Laura says she's talking to Doom and they're fighting and she's basically like, I'm badass. I'm going to take you down. Thor's hammer is sitting there and she goes to the hammer and Gabby is looking from the shadows and the look on her face is like, oh my gosh, she's going to do it. She's going to do it. It's this great sequence. I will not spoil what happens. Wonderful stuff. The book opens with a character in tears and it ends with characters holding hands. That's the book to me. We can hit that full spectrum and feel rewarded for the story and the journey. I love this book so much. I'm so sad it's gone.
Well, it's comics, so there's always a next chapter.
Yes, and the next chapter is X-23 by Mariko Tamaki and Juan Cabal, which comes in July. And I'm very excited for that. But man, read the almost 30 issues of All New Wolverine on Marvel Unlimited if you've not read it yet. And then dive into this old woman Laura story.
I'm going to because I, first of all, love the convenience and service provided by Marvel Unlimited, where I can keep going back. Like, you recommended a storyline with Captain America and Deadpool and
yes,
Wolverine,
yeah, the good, the
right?
bad, and the ugly, or the good, the dead, and the ugly.
Yeah. So, worth it.
Heck, yeah. Now, what is your pick, Jamie?
My pick is Captain America number 702. And the comic is like one of those things, because I'm a big history junkie, I want to go back to the beginning. And thinking about the context of when Cap started, which was not in the 40s when Steve Rogers was fighting World War II, but the 60s when he was found. So the time disparity between that Cap and our Cap, it's different because the 60s were such a different time in U.S. history. So I feel like bringing a Cap from World War II into the 60s is a much different Cap. And I'm so curious about discovering that. But in the meantime, we have Cap Comics now. And right now we have this Mark Waid story with artist Leonardo Romero and with Rod Rice and Howard Chaykin. Color artist Jordi Belair with Rod Rice and Jesus Arbutov. And letters by Joe Carmagna. and a great cover by Michael Cho. I mean, Cap is iconic and great to look at, but what's behind that? You know, it's not just an icon. But this is about Steve Rogers' descendant in the future, which is a few centuries in the future.
What I like, too, is there's three elements to this story in particular. And you've got Rod's pages at the beginning telling this little story about Cap in France in World War II. And then you've got Howard Chaykin's pages telling this story of how this reality sort of shifted and changed. And you've got gnarly Red Skull having beaten all the heroes. He's got the Cosmic Cube. It's like this final fateful battle between them. Yeah. And then you've got Leo's pages of this current sort of future time.
The
really
Jack Rogers storyline. Yeah. See, I always wonder, this is my big thing with the Marvel comics is Cap became Cap through a scientific experiment. Does that mean his DNA was altered and his descendants have super serum thingies in them? Or are Jack Rogers just a normal dude who's related to Steve Rogers? But yeah, so we have Jack Rogers, and he is not, as far as we know, superpowered. However, he is in this sort of zhuzhy club full of history types. Looks like a bunch of professors sitting around drinking brandy.
Yeah, they've got this cool, like, time tech, and they're sort of observers of things.
They're like anthropologists, whereas we've discussed before, if you're an anthropologist, you are not supposed to affect the things you're observing, but you're going to affect them anyway.
Yeah.
And there's one dude in this room who has been affecting way too many things.
Yeah.
And people are told to avoid him. He has time dived way too much.
Yeah, these are the Guild of Historians, which are kind of chronal anthropologists, which is neat.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. But this guy has spent way too much time in the past, concentrating on the past, that he can't tell the difference between what's now and what's then. He apparently has some things to tell Jack Rogers, and one of those things is a very important, recognizable, iconic symbol.
Yeah.
So then Jack Rogers has to take some action, and against, you know, the advice of others, he takes a look into the past, and he sees some things.
Yeah.
He sees some crazy things, and he sees that maybe that famous DNA of his is, maybe there's a sense of duty in there for Mr. Jack Rogers.
And that kind of goes along with what writer Mark Waid has been doing previously with Chris Samnee and Matt Wilson. But in this arc, it really hits those notes of legacy, history, destiny, and what Captain America means as a symbol, as more than just a person. What does he mean to us?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about Steve Rogers before the super serum, it feels like he knew what his destiny was, and he had to force it to happen. He had to find some sort of painful, unnatural way to achieve his destiny, and he did. And now he's created this path, and it's got to be really heavy on Jack Rogers' shoulders to be, you know, descended from that guy.
Yeah.
No pressure.
If you're like great, great, great grand whatever was this amazing figure, and you feel like you have a part to play in that story, it's a tough one.
Yeah, but also some really nice, fierce-looking Red Skull in this.
Ugh. There's a great story. So in Captain America during the 80s, well, in Marvel Comics and during the 80s, a real quick sidebar, there was a story called Acts of Vengeance, and all the villains got together, this great story. They were like, we always get beat by our arch enemy, so why don't we trade enemies, guys? And they're all like,
that's not going to work, guys. You just have to change your ideas.
But they go with it, and so you get them swapping different people that they're going to fight. Red Skull goes after Magneto, and they're in Captain America together, and Magneto was going to go after Cap as part of this plot, but Red Skull's there, and he's like, you're a Nazi. Done with you. And I'm pretty sure he crushes him in metal.
That's beautiful.
The dopest story. It's great. I have to reread it. It's part of Acts of Vengeance. It's been a couple of years. So if one of you listeners is like pushing up your glasses and saying, well, actually, this is what happened, that's totally cool. You can tweet to me at Agent M, hashtag of This Week in Marvel, with a correction on that one.
And if you know more scenes where Nazis are being like crushed into metal or melted or something like that, please get in touch with me on Twitter at Jamie Reveille. But Nazis, not having them.
Yeah.
Not having them.
Yeah. But you know what we are having is the next pick, which is Mighty Thor at the Gates of Valhalla.
This is still happening.
Heck yeah. Number one is so dope. This one is cool. We've got two stories up in here. They're all written by Jason Aaron. All the colors in this issue and all the lettering by Matt Wilson and Joe Sabino. But the first story is the Tomorrow Girls, which feature the goddesses of thunder, Thor and his three granddaughters, Frigg, Elsiv, and Atli, and their adventure. Then the second story is called Lord of the Realms, and it is really about Malekith and the beginning of his War of the Realms, this thing that he's going and, you know, beating the drums about and starting and killing and murdering lots of people. That one is drawn by Ramon Perez. So very exciting. We get this story that is featuring the Goddesses of Thunder. These are characters who have been in this six-year run of Jason's Thor story. I believe they were in Thor, God of Thunder. And way in the future, Asgard, untold eons from now, King Thor, he's, you know, seen and done it all. And he has these granddaughters who they just want to fight and just have a good time. They are terrific. They go around and they're like, ooh, I know what we should do. We should go to the past and check out some stuff. See old young version of Thor, get into some fights. There's a lot of them eating, drinking, fighting, having a good time.
That brunch with these ladies would be amazing.
Yes. It's great. We see a young Thor who cannot pick up the hammer. They travel through time. We see them see Throg, the Frog of Thunder. We see the Ghost Rider and Starbrand from the prehistoric Avengers, which we can see in the pages of Avengers right now. We see my favorite Thor, Dargo Couture, the mulleted, spiked, shoulder padded.
Oh, goodness.
Beautiful boy who is the Lord of Thunder in like the 26th century. He's great. He's part of the Thor Corps. He's amazing. I love him so much. He shows up in this book. We get to see Thor fighting this wild version of Loki, this really cool stuff. But ultimately, they land in, you know, our present time in the Marvel Universe, and they see the mighty Thor that they were looking for. But she's not the mighty Thor anymore. It's Jane, having gone through all her trials. She's battling cancer. We get these beautiful couple of pages of them talking to each other. And just, it's so great. It's this reaffirmation of the legacy that Jane has on Asgard, Asgardia, the Thor, all of that legend. She is such an integral part of it. And rightfully so. Her story was so dope. And great moment. Their final big splash page of this part of the story is tremendous. It just warms the heart. And I also got to say, Jen Bartel, so good. She does a lot of cover art. She does a lot of, you know, like pinup style stuff. I follow her on social media. Amazing artist. And we don't get to see a lot of her interior work. But here we get to see like her just go all out, and she's like leaps and bounds, keeps getting better. Her storytelling, the reaction she has. There's something about her pencils in this which are like a little bit looser than they are when she does a cover. That's what it feels like to me. And it feels more kinetic, and it's so good. It hits all those emotional notes. The comedy is right on point. It is fun. She's just killing it right now. But that's not the end, because the second half of this issue is like the complete opposite. We've had this cool story and fun and light and exciting and like this affirmation of heroism. And then the second part is Malekith.
Dark elves.
Yeah, dark elves. It's Malekith rolling around with Scourge, rolling around murdering, killing, twisting, just defiling things. We see the Black Bifrost, which is the like most metal version of something that is already metal. Like, you have the Ronnie James Dio version of the Bifrost, which I love, which is great. It's the Rainbow Bridge. But now we've got, like, I don't know, the Cradle of Filth version of the Rainbow Bridge here.
You know, I've been trying to figure out what Thor keeps making me think of, and that is exactly what it is.
Cradle of Filth?
80s metal.
Oh. Yeah.
80s, like 70s, 80s, crazy, dark elf, Spinal Tap metal.
Yeah. What's cool about this is we're seeing it's this horrible tour of the realms, seeing Malekith's work in different places. You get to see Svartalfheim. We see the realm of the dwarves. We see Jotunheim. This Jotunheim moment is just, it's got this giant baby, and it's just awful. He's like literally killing babies, holding up flaming, you know, goblets and murdering already murdered and dead things. He's hanging out with corporate CEO, just dirty, nasty stuff. And again, it's like, it's not the war yet. It is just the drumbeats of like the beginning of the war. You can like hear the march and the doof, 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 as this is going to come to all the realms, and it's going to be wild. This says the like the last words in this is to be continued in next month's Thor number one and next year's War of the Realms. I maybe know everything that's going to happen in War of the Realms.
Oh,
and I may say that this story is wild.
I would expect nothing less.
Hot dog, some good books this week, y'all. If you want to learn about all the new comics out this week, you can go and check out Marvel's The Pull List, which still be in this podcast feed. And again, you can watch the video version with young Tucker, Marcus, and myself talking about a couple of books, pulling out a couple highlights. Let us know what you think. Give me a little Twitty tweet, and we'll find out. So, you know, Malekith, he's building his army for the War of the Realms, and he needs to find the best people for this job. Unfortunately, he cannot use ZipRecruiter because ZipRecruiter only gives you the best candidates. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job, not to rampaging across the 10 realms. That is not what ZipRecruiter is all about. But 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And again, we do not want to fuel Malekith's rampage. That is not what we're here for. The right candidates are out there, except for Malekith, and ZipRecruiter is how you find them if you are an awesome company who needs to find the right people. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/week. That's ZipRecruiter.com/week. ZipRecruiter.com/week. I could say it three times, and the ZipRecruiter person just appears behind me and hugs me, and then we say, this is awesome. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, so we go from the new books out this week to some news about some upcoming things.
Because now, Marvel's always making comics.
We always making comics.
Yeah.
We teased you at the beginning of the show that we have two special guests on this episode joining us to talk about some stuff. They are, I was told we had some announcements this week.
We do.
And I was like, you know what? Why don't we get the people actually making these books to talk about them they're in the building?
They are all right here making the magic as we speak,
yeah.
Figuring out all the stories. So, yeah.
So
it was very kind of them to make the time to talk to us, tell them about what they're doing.
Yeah. Heck yeah. First up is podcast listener and friend I will say this. He was like, dude, why are you busted my mystique? And now he's going to be really upset when I'm saying this. But Donnie is the best, and he tells the best story. So Donnie Cates, tell us about some news. Donnie Cates, you are here, and there's some news breaking for you this week. And I figured, why not have you talk about the book instead of me and Jamie?
Okay.
So what do we got? We got a special spinoff from your Venom series.
Yeah, yeah. It's called Venam, and it takes place during what you'd probably assume the Vietnam War. And it's the weirdest thing that I've ever had greenlit.
Oh, wait. This is the weirdest thing? You've got some really great, weird stuff.
You're right. I guess Cosmic Ghostwriter has to be the number one, right? No, you were in the retreat when this happened. There's I'm not spoiling anything. In the first issue of Venom, we meet a character named Rex Strickland. And he shows this photo of him and his men who were a part of the symbiote soldier program, like Flash, and the reveal that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been doing that program for a lot longer than we ever thought. And he shows a picture of him and his men in Vietnam. And they're all, you know, they're wearing symbiote gear and everything. And at the retreat, I very much jokingly said, Venam. And Jason Aaron, who's a friend, spoke up and was like, that's funny. Don't do that. And I was like, cool. Yeah, heard. And then, like, I don't know, 2 weeks after that, I got a call from CB, and he was like, hey, if you want to do that, we can do that. And I was like, I mean, I'm not going to say no to doing that. That's the craziest thing ever. So it's really fun. I've never written like a war book, you know? And so it was really fun to go and research and like read the NAM, you know, which is phenomenal. But also, you know, it's some really big guest stars are going to be in this issue. Characters that I've never had the pleasure of writing before. And they're hunting down Rex's kind of squad, because it's very much a black ops kind of a thing. And so in that vein of, like, you know, a few soldiers in the jungle hunting down monsters that can, you know, that can cloak and everything, it's Predator. It's the movie Predator. So, yeah, it's really fun. It's not so much Predator as it is a different thing that I didn't steal. But it's really fun. This has gone off the rails so fast.
Terrific art by Juan and Ramirez.
It's great.
Yeah. Cover by Ryan Sexy Stegman. Mm-hmm. And this is coming out in August.
That sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you, Donnie.
Hey, thank you.
Oh, man. Y'all have no idea. Donnie's... he's got more up his sleeve than you even know. It's going to be great. Up his sleeve, including a Cosmic Ghost Rider tattoo. Dude got Cosmic Ghost Rider tattooed on him.
That's devotion.
Heck yeah. I love Donnie.
I'm going to have to see this, because I really like it when people get comics-inspired tattoos.
For sure.
I like to see how they translate on the human body, because it's difficult to go from the page to the flesh.
Sounded like a Clive Barker moment there.
I hope so.
Yeah, like Pinhead is like from the page to the flesh.
From the page to the flesh.
Anyway, on to the next announcement. And we've got Kelly Thompson here to talk about it. Kelly. Kelly Thompson, what news do we have of yours this week?
We have the news that we are launching in August a brand new West Coast Avengers led by Kate Bishop Hawkeye. We have art, so Marvel probably won't come after me if I say. We've got also Clint Barton Hawkeye, and America Chavez will be joining Kate, her BFF. And then we're also going to have, just to keep you guys on your toes constantly, Gwenpool and Quentin Quire, a.k.a. Kid Omega.
I love this team.
I think mixing characters up into new combinations, it's exciting. Like, I love Jason Aaron's storytelling, and I love his Avengers book. It's really great, and it's huge, and it's epic. We're doing, it's a little bit more comedy. The stakes are a little lower. We're the West Coast. We're the not quite funded to defeat the Celestials team. But I think it's a good counterpoint. Like, you've got your big classic Avengers doing their big classic Avengers stuff, and then you've got your Parks and Rec meets superheroes guys.
The artist on book.
Oh my god, I'm the worst partner. It's Stefano Caselli. Yeah. He's amazing.
So excited. Oh man, he's been doing some really cool work for many years, so I'm excited to see what you two cook up. Thank you, Kelly, for taking the time with us.
Thanks, guys.
So good. We re-recorded some videos with Donnie, and Kelly will be on Women of Marvel really soon. I was able to steal a couple minutes to get her to talk to you guys on This Week in Marvel. So thank you to Judy and Sana for giving me a couple minutes with Kelly. Also on the Marvel podcast universe, we've got Greg Pak. He is on Marvel's Voices this week, talking with Angelique. I want to listen to that one because I love Greg. I've known Greg now a very long time, and he's kind of the best. He tells stories really well, both in the comics, but when you talk to him, he's a great storyteller. Very exciting. So Greg Pak is on Marvel's Voices. Kelly will soon be on Women of Marvel. Check those out where you get your podcasts. On the games front, over in Strike Force, I opened up the game after an update, and boom, Deadpool was all over this mother, and it was terrific. I've been playing this. He's, you know, you can battle with Deadpool in this legendary event. You can participate in other ways to collect chimichangas to start Deadpool raids. The goal being recruiting Deadpool, but as a bonus, you also get to play with Cable, which means, I assume, hopefully, we're going to get Cable in the game. That makes me so happy. Oh my gosh, it's good. Yeah, in the coming weeks, Cable's going to be in the game and recruitable. So really great. They added a bunch of other stuff and they tweaked some things, some updates to the game. But Deadpool and Cable and so much fun in Strikeforce. But I got confirmation from our friend Becca over on the games team that I can say I was able to play a little Marvel's Spider-Man for PlayStation 4
when I
was in the office last week. And it's awesome.
Oh, very sweet. Yeah. How's it looking? Like, what is it? How would you describe?
You're trying to get me to spill all the secrets here, Jamie.
I'm just thinking about our audience. Inquiring minds want to know.
It's terrific. I probably played it for about 2 hours.
Which
was a lot of fun. And
that's awesome.
I got to hang out with the Marvel Games team, Mike Jones and Bill Roseman and Isabel and Chuck and everybody. And it was good. I got to hang out with them. I saw the Marvel-themed entertainment team as well. Brian Crosby over there. He may have told me some cool secrets and we would have discussed some stuff, but I can't spill those.
You're such a tease, Ryan.
Yeah, this is what I do.
Such a tease.
Secrets with four E's.
Ooh, intriguing with just as many E's.
I like that.
In other new media news in our podcast network, Marvel's Z the Universe is featuring former NFL star and current mathematician John Urschel, and he is making some cosmic yogurt. I've seen the pictures. It is very colorful, much like the heavy metal Spinal Tap Thor that we've been talking about. Thor is just colors to me, and this is what that cosmic yogurt looks like. If Thor was a yogurt, it's this yogurt, which is the whole point of it, really. But we also have Marvel Studios Black Panther on DVD and Blu-ray, and again, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed for a sixth season. You can check out the previous seasons on iTunes. We have more movies coming up.
Heck yeah. Now, Marvel Studios' Ant-Man and the Wasp comes to theaters July 6th, 2018. You know what? One lucky fan will be able to attend the premiere for the movie in L.A.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how do you make that dream a reality?
I'm glad you asked, Jamie. Now, you apply for a Marvel MasterCard from now until May 31st, 2018 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern, and then you'd be entered to win. An application only gives a chance to win.
So yeah, no guarantees, but if you don't apply, then you have zero chance.
Right. And one chance is better than no chance at all. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 years or older. For rules and to apply, visit marvelmastercard.com. Now, Jamie, if I were someone who would want Marvel news, where would I go to find such Marvel news?
Oh, you can find your Marvel news on marvel.com.
Would that be news.marvel.com?
News.marvel.com.
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 Where you get all the Marvel news. Plus, we'll put some links in the show notes and the description and all that good stuff for those of you who just want to click from the podcast. So, I chatted with Mr. Scotty Young when I was in Chicago in April. And that's our conversation here for this week's episode. Scotty and I talk a little bit about his career, which is cool. We talk about his first book, which was Iceman, 15 years ago, and I love Scotty to death. He is a far better artist today than he was back then. He will admit it. We talk about it. We talk about how he drew his characters wearing JNCO jeans, and he's like, "Yeah,
no, he didn't."
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they just got them big old pants because he's like, "I was wearing, you know, just what I was wearing, that like big jeans and shell top sneakers," and he had a very even more graffiti like style back then. And he's matured and changed and developed so much. He's a sweetheart. We have a lot of conversation. We also talk a lot about Deadpool because he's writing Deadpool with Nick Klein. And I'm very excited for that one. That's coming up real soon. It's a big time. Check it out. Hope you enjoy it. Scotty is doing amazing work. I'm really excited for you guys to check out his Deadpool. Let's get on with it. Evil producer Brandon, run that interview. All right, we're with Scotty Tuhati.
Whoa.
Scotty Young.
What's up?
How's it going?
Good, man. How about you?
I am delightful. I am excited. I'm happy. All right, so we got to talk about Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. It's really exciting.
It's crazy.
I'm super excited for you. And you're joined on the book by Nick Klein.
Yep. Nick Klein's launching it, yeah.
Is that his first Marvel work?
No, that's the interesting thing. He did some Winter Soldier stuff back in the day.
Okay.
I want to say he did some Captain America stuff with things, Rick.
But it's not frequent. And it's
nothing on a regular. It was like a mini here or a film. He did an issue of, I think he did one of Jason Aaron's favorite issues of Thor. Mm-hmm. But this is his first time, I think, at Marvel on an ongoing.
Yeah, you know, and launching it.
And launching and, like, it.
In a big way.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just, his colors, like the, you know, the color palette that goes with his art, is so, it pops. It's so vibrant. It's so fun. What do you guys, what's the plan? Where are we, you know, see Deadpool? Without giving too much away for the end of Jerry's run.
Sure.
Because, I mean, he's going out with a bang.
Yeah, Jerry's, it's the same thing. On a panel yesterday, I said, you know, it's, I feel like it's very hard for me to say too much because Jerry, I've read the last issue and I really don't want to ruin that. So basically what I'm saying is the general premise is, you know, Deadpool's decided that, you know, he's taking things back to basics. He's just going to be a merc for hire, you know, and that's it. No more, you know, he's not going to be doing the Avengers thing. He's not going to be doing the X-Force thing. He's not going to be like riding that line of like, you know, no more of this, am I a hero? Am I? He's just like, I want money for doing what I do. And, you know, doing that, you know, starting that back up, just like any startups, you know, it's business is a little slow at first and the kind of jobs he's getting aren't as glamorous as kind of the life that he was leading while he was teaming up with Avengers and things like that. So, you know, him and his associates decide that they needed to kind of figure out a new way to drum up some business. So luckily, a big old cosmic level event happens right around that time. So he thinks that's an opportune time to maybe get involved in maybe he trying to kill this thing. So it goes from there. And outside of that, it's just going to be a lot of run and gun action, funny, you know, again, bombastic stuff. Same kind of thing that I did with Rocket Raccoon and Groot over those couple years where, you know, I'd like to get in and run, you know. You'll find my story arcs are much shorter. So you might pick up a trade and have a couple story arcs within that trade because I just like to get in and gun, you know.
Is that something that is a conscious decision on your part to, like, make them shorter story arcs?
Well, you know, it just comes down to what the idea that we come up with, what can it sustain and what should it sustain?
I think that's a really good point. What should it sustain?
Right.
You don't have to do six.
Right.
You don't have to do eight. Two, three, great.
Exactly. Sometimes one. Yeah. I mean, sometimes an idea is just that. It's just that idea. It's good enough to be published, but it's not strong enough to float a five-issue story.
Yeah.
And that sometimes, I know, and this is just speaking for me, I know when I've tried to do that, that's when my stories get weaker because I'm decompressing them simply to fit the space. Mm. And you find yourself slogging through it versus like, you know what, if we just slam this into three, like we cut all the fat and then we just make up more fun stuff for issues, you know, three, four, and five, you know, and you end up with, to me, a lot of cool stuff for your character to play around with. And I like, there's something that I like, and I didn't really know this until I started working on like Rocket Raccoon, and because Rocket Raccoon, I started off with an arc and then slowly started getting this mentality of like, let's shorten these things. And me and, at the time, Jake Thomas, who's also my editor on Deadpool, because of our relationship that we had on Rocket, I was like, if I do this, I definitely want Jake to be along for the ride with me.
That's cool.
Because of that, we were in the same mind. Like, let's just chop this up. And what I realized was it allowed me to be way more nimble throughout the year with really maintaining inspiration. So I could be inspired by an idea and be writing that idea for an issue one or two issues away. Versus when I'm writing things in five and six issue arcs, and then I get an idea. Sometimes I might not have time for that idea for a year.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of gone. But like, I mean, I remember one time with Rocket. One night I was like just sitting there, and I decided like, well, I was like trying to think of a plot for the next issue, and then I like Pacific Rim came on, and I was like, oh man. Kaiju. Whoa. And then I thought like Groot's a monster. Like, and I was like, Groot, oh, like a Grootzilla type, like, oh, boom. All of a sudden I'm just writing like a future episode that gets in the future, and Rocket's the only person that could stop the giant Kaiju that is Groot. And you're just like, that happened because I was able to just be nimble and on the spot and be inspired by something and filter that through a lens and see where that takes me down that right then and not go like, oh, in 2.5 years, once I've finished my ultimate arc, our ultimate story, I'll get to that. So it's fun like that. And I think characters like Deadpool can do that, you know, because humor, I feel like you stay too long and you're like, all right, move on, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, at least the way that I approach it. So yeah, I really enjoy just figuring out what an idea should sustain.
No, I love that. That's smart. And like, it feels refreshing and good and exciting. Yeah. So you talked about you wanted to have Jake with you on Deadpool.
Right.
How, is that how you, Nick, got on the book? Were you like, I want to do this with Nick? Was it Jake who came in and said?
It's kind of, you know, everybody, you know, I've been at Marvel for a billion years.
Yeah.
and so I've
never leave.
Yeah, it's one big family. And CB, when CB first reached out to me about the possibilities of Deadpool, I thought, I was like, yeah, let's definitely do it. And he was like, you know, start thinking about who you want to do, who you want to work with. And if you were thinking about an editor, and I was like, well, definitely Jake. I didn't know Mark Basso that well until this last retreat. But since we've started and on these issues, he's awesome as well. Like, that's a great editorial partnership they've got going on for at least this book with me. They've really made me a better writer just in the few issues that we've worked on. Nick has been a friend of mine for almost 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. We actually met, weirdly enough, me and my wife had a podcast back in like 2009, and Nick wrote into it. And I recognized his name because he was in some like fantasy digital art magazines.
Huh.
Because back in like the 2000s, so where he's like showing you how to digitally paint. And I just recognized his name because he's a great artist and illustrator, but I don't know that he had done that much comic stuff yet.
Yeah.
So we just kind of, we actually met through a podcast back then and became friends. He lived in Germany. And then I've, you know, obviously we've been buddies since, and he's done amazing, amazing art.
Some really great stuff at Image.
Image, yeah. Books like Viking and Drifter, and he's done some stuff at Marvel with Captain America and all those things. But I went to him, and he's not normally a guy who jumps on ongoings. You know, he's got a really labor intensive style. He colors all his own stuff. It's this like beautiful painted esque textured. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So he's not, he doesn't usually do that, but, and when he does do it, it's more on indie books, like his Image books. So I just was like, hey, what would you think about coming on and launching, you know, Deadpool, if, you know, if I could get them to go for it? And he was like, oh, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. And you know, I don't know how much I would, what the time is scheduled. He was cool about it, but like then, and then he was like, yeah, that'd be fun to do it with you, and we'll do it. So he kind of was in for a launch, and then I went to the retreat, and then I came back and kind of told him all the ideas that, you know, we had, Jake and I had kind of cobbled together. And he went from being like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll do 3 or 4 issues, to like, well, oh, I want to draw that one too. And but I kind of want to draw that little arc too. And then he was like, okay, fine. You know, like, so just through like being buddies and really all of us banging our heads together, Nick as well, he decided to come on. And the other person is that we haven't mentioned yet is Scott Hepburn, who's currently doing Spider-Man Deadpool.
Yeah.
He was also a name that I had on the list as well as Nick, because again, wasn't quite sure where Nick's head was. So, but Scott was busy with, he's in the middle of a Spider-Man Deadpool arc, but he already kills on the character.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
So, and I think his style works really well with your like vision, your aesthetic, yes. your vibe.
Right. So he's on too. So those two are going to be, he just need a little extra time to wrap up the arc that he's doing on Spider-Man Deadpool, and then he's going to swing over, and those two are going to be rotating. So I'm going to constantly be writing something for each of these guys, which is a dream come true for an artist, you know, an artist of 17 years who's for the last 5 or 6 years been writing and really loving that process. To get this kind of art to come back to you is just, it's a dream come true.
Yeah, look, you're good at helping me get right into the segues, because I wanted to ask you about being an artist and for, you know, so long writing and drawing your own stuff,
right,
or drawing with other writers, and now, you know, basically being the guy who's like, here's the script, and like, was it difficult for you to start just like letting that go and giving someone else that like baton?
I thought that it would be, because I definitely am a little bit of a control freak. I thought that it would be difficult, but it really hasn't been. And it's mostly because, and again, I give credit to everybody at Marvel that I've worked with in editorial, in that they've always let me bring on, I mean, from pretty much every project on Rocket, they let me bring on artists that I wanted to work with. And when you do that, if you could go out and pick that person, especially as an artist, I can flip through somebody's, you know, a trade paperback of somebody's work and instantly know how to write for that artist. You just understand it, like, oh, yeah. I get it. Like, he likes a five-panel page and he likes a heavy third tier or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you get all the stuff and you're like, all right, so I know how to plug it. Or like, oh, you know, Jake Parker is going to come on and do this, and Jake's great at robots, so I'm just going to write some crazy robot stories, you know, because he's going to kill it. So letting go of that was, I thought it'd be hard, and it's actually been one of the easiest things, because most of these artists that I work with, they're better than me. So like, you know, like, we all do different stuff, but I mean, their craft level is so beyond what I'm capable of doing that they just make me look super smart. You know?
I'm glad you're stay humble, but Scotty, come on, Scotty, you know, I adore you, but man, you are a very good artist.
Thank you.
Yeah. What was your first book at Marvel? Was it Iceman?
Iceman number 3. It was a fill-in on Iceman number 3. Carl Kerschel was doing the regular series, and he missed it. I didn't know later in life me and Carl would be buds, but yeah, it was a random issue number 3 of Marvel Icons or whatever, you know, they were doing solo series. So yeah, that was my first one. I'd never drawn a comic book before that comic.
Even think I knew that part.
Yeah, I had never drawn. I think I had drawn it most, maybe 5 pages, and they were, and this isn't me being faux humble. They were terrible. I mean, it was, you know, that was an interesting time in comics.
Yeah.
But again, you know, this is baby internet days, so it still was very hard to go out and find, you know, filling guys on the fly, and so it was an interesting time, but. Yeah, Iceman number 3, never drawn a full comic book before, turned it around in like 3 or 4 weeks with a buddy of mine inking in Chicago, and man, it was bizarre.
Like everybody was wearing JNCOs, like JNCO-style pants.
Oh yeah, like super cargo pants. Yeah. Everybody's wearing like shell-toe Adidas.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, because that was basically me at those days, right?
Yeah,
it was a hot mess.
How does doing, you know, writing a series like Deadpool affect I Hate Fairyland or, you know, like anything else you're trying to do?
I don't think that it does. I mean, one thing for me, I only think it affects it positively, right? I think that everything is just feeds into the other and exposes the different audiences to each other. And luckily, I think, the voices of these two books, my book, I Hate Fairyland and Deadpool, I think that I'm a natural fit for Deadpool because of what I've been doing in I Hate Fairyland.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a bonkers book.
It is super bonkers.
Which is great. I mean, you know, it fits.
No, it only affects it positively because, you know, for anybody who knows me, you know, especially in the last 10 years or so, like, I am a very schedule-oriented creator. Like, I live and die by the calendar, and I've told editors straight up before, like, they'll be like, hey, where would you have this? I'm like, well, no, I didn't have a date. Like, if there was not a date on the calendar, it just does not exist. If it's on the calendar, it's getting done. Like, so for me, I just keep everything mapped out, and I'm able to see where I'm at and how to get ahead. So with writing, what I find, I get everything in modes. So when I'm in a writing mode, I might take 3 or 4 weeks and just get ahead on, you know, a project. So, you know, there's a couple other image books that I'm doing where I just sat there for, you know, a good 3-4 weeks. And once you're in that mode, you'll notice that it goes faster.
Mm.
You know, because if you've got to stop and start something like pencil today, ink today, it's like everything's like shaking off the dust in the same day. But it's like if I'm on my 5th writing day, and the same characters, you're in it. You know, and then you're on your 8th writing day, your 10th writing day with those same characters. All of a sudden, I'm finding that the script's pace is going. So all of a sudden, I'll have, you know, my next arc of Fairyland already done. And then, you know, I might thumbnail that in a week, too. So I might have a whole arc written and thumbnailed of one project, push that aside, jump on another thing. And sooner or later, I'm just ahead enough on everything where I'm never chasing the deadline.
Yeah.
I'm far enough ahead of it. So Deadpool's the newest, so it's the thing that I'm the least ahead on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still ahead. So far it's not been any kind of detrimental thing. Cause I mean, again, I do 6 million covers, I think.
I think 6 million is a fair close, estimate.
Right? Yeah.
Gosh, covers. Is there a character you haven't drawn at Marvel that you want to draw?
I'm sad that I don't think that I've gotten to draw like a baby Chamber. Like, all I want to do is bring back like the 90s Generation X and draw just those characters. But yeah, Chamber's always been a fun character for me, one of my favorites. And I haven't got to draw him yet.
Have you done a baby MODOK?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he's in.
Yeah, he's in the AV.
Yeah, he's in the giant sized little X-Men or okay. AV. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, one of those. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I drew him in that, and I think I've drawn him as a couple sketches, you know, here and there at a con. That book I came close to kind of throwing in most characters I haven't been able to fit on a cover.
Yeah.
I would you know try to throw people in there in the background. You know, baby watcher. It's like his creepy dad, watcher dad watching him while he sleeps. Things like that.
Good.
Yeah.
We're going to finish up because we're going to wrap this up. I think you're going to come to Marvel headquarters. Maybe we'll pick up another time and talk a little bit more. But before we started recording, you had mentioned that it's just so cool, like when you talk to fans and the connections you can make with people, and you're getting recognized by your art in Japan.
Right.
Places. Like, how does that feel? Like, tell. I want you to express that here on the show because we were just talking.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. You know, somebody asked me a question once. You know, it's fitting because we were just talking about the covers, and somebody asked me, "Do you ever get worried? You know that you know you do so many of these covers. Do you ever worry that that's what you're going to be known for?" And you know, my answer to that was like, "No, because it's amazing to be known at all. Like, it's not a thing. Like." The idea that I literally grew up in a town of 3,000 people in the middle of Illinois cornfields, you know, and to think that when I grew up, I was going to make, like, play pretend on paper with pencils and pens and ink, and people in other countries would know who I am when I go there, like, that's bizarre. Like, it's amazing. So if that happening is because of, you know, Oz, you know, the Oz books or the little Marvel covers or fill in the Deadpool or fill in the blank, I will never be mad at any of that. Like, it is amazing to be known at all, let alone being known for one specific thing. And in fact, it's pretty crazy awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's so cool to see kids and moms and grandmas and dads and brothers just come up to your table and, you know, they'll have built costumes out of the things that you've made, like out of your brain. Come up besides, like, you know, they make stuffed animals now of my drawings, and they've got pajama pants. Like, literally, I have a pair of pajama pants that's covered in my drawings of Rocket Raccoon, like hundreds of drawings. That's bizarre. It's crazy. So, yeah, it's a never-ending life of amazement for me. I can't get over it. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's pretty great, and I'm so happy, and you're amazing.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Back at you.
Yeah. Thanks, Scotty.
Thank you.
And we are done with Mr. Scotty Young. He is the best. I'm seeing him this week.
But if you want to get a preview of Deadpool number one, you can visit Marvel.com and you can see the cover and a few preview pages. So you're getting an actual first look inside. What is Deadpool doing now? You can find out.
Heck yeah. Going to the tweets right now. First up is Brian Stranko. He says, just got to This Week in Marvel 306 and finally heard the updated West Coast theme since the departure of both Strami and the Wolfman. I was wondering when/if that would change or it would just ride as a strange nostalgic nod to the West Coast days of yore. Brian, more changes are coming. Sandy Britton. See Sandy run. Sandy says, my comic shop is awesome. It's at C Paradise with a Z. They have a pull list for me and even saved me some of the comics from Free Comic Book Day. That is great. That is Collector's Paradise Comics in Winnetka, Los Angeles. Shout outs to them. Thank you for being awesome to our listeners.
And from David Beldeon, artist on Domino number 2, he said, so I was catching up with the This Week in Marvel podcast, and they talked about Domino number 2 in the pull list. They were as kind as to make some really insightful considerations about yours truly storytelling, and I'd like to say, oh my God, thank you, someone noticed.
That sounds exactly like David. I've never met David, so I'm just going to assume that's what he sounds like. Thank you for listening and sharing out the episode. We dig your art, dude. That's the way it goes.
I love it. I love Domino number 1 and 2. I can't wait to see more. I can't wait till number 3. I love looking at it. I love reading it. It's something that I relate to as a lady. Send us more gifts with tweets, and I will pick a voice for each one.
I like that Raph AB responded to this. He says, now I want a David Baldeon / Donny Cates book where their only goal is to be the This Week in Marvel top hit each issue. I'm into it.
Do it.
Bring it on, boys.
We have the Tech Lord, who says, Jamie Frevely kickbox is awesome, from a fellow martial artist. Thank you, Tech Lord. I don't know if I'm good, but I sure like hitting things.
Efren Simon Williams has a Twim of the Week. He joins the Domino Parade. Domino number 2 is his Twim of the Week for May 9th. He says he's enjoying the new art style on Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 32 and that Dr. Muscle Fists may be the coolest superhero name ever. And yes, Simon, I agree. It also sounds like a good pro wrestling gimmick.
It is also what I call myself when I go kickboxing.
And Simon says, after reading Exiles number 3, I would love to see a Captain America Peggy Carter series.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So there is a female Captain America in Spider-Gwen, but a very different character.
Different universes, isn't it?
So they're all so many different universes. I love that idea. Who knows? I would love it, but as I keep talking about Exiles with people, there's just so many things happening, so many ideas. It's so neat.
It sounds like it's ripe for spinoffs. When you got all those characters, like yeah. Two of them are gonna like meet up in a corner and just be like, you know, what's gonna happen if we just like go to Starbucks?
Go into Starbucks, a Marvel comic story. Raph AB says, I wonder how Nick Spencer will cram Boomerang into his new Spider-Man book. Reads the free comic book day issue. Didn't see that one coming. Oh, Raph, you don't know nothing yet. hearing Nick talk about the story and the book, and there's just so many cool things coming. And HP Seaton says, thanks. This week at Marvel for the episode with Gail Simone. Really good. No, thank you, HP. For listening and checking it out.
If David Baldione wants to draw my dog into Domino at one point and have her meet Pip, the tiny pup, I wouldn't be against it.
Wow. Wow. You're just putting it all out there.
I really want to see my dog in a comic book.
Aww.
I think Peggy would be a wonderful character.
Yeah.
And also her name is Peggy. She belongs in the Marvel Universe.
Fair. I like this. Very good. If you have a dog named after a Marvel character... Tweet us. That is our sort of question / mission of the week. Do you have a pet named after a Marvel character? Tweet us. Hashtag This Week in Marvel. Let us know. You can also email us at twimpodcast@marvel.com. And I ain't going to say no to pictures of your dogs or your cats or your birds or your fish,
dude.
Your turtles, your ferrets, your cute little rats. A pet rat is adorable.
They are. Yeah. Rats are adorable and very smart.
Heck yeah.
And I would not mind seeing your pet rats. I think they're delightful.
Yep.
I actually posted a very amazingly cute picture of my dog Peggy in an Avengers bandana. And she's smiling and everything. And I'm just really proud of her. She makes me so happy.
On that note, that's another episode of This Week in Marvel. Hope you all enjoyed it. Check it all out. All the things we talked about. Lots of tweets and links and stuff in the show notes. Thanks for listening. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jamie.
This is Marvel.
Your universe.